So, parents, if you're my age, your parents never talked to you about the things that needed to be talked about. Most of us as parents did not do a very good job, because it's uncomfortable conversations talking with our sons and daughters about sexuality. But it is absolutely necessary, because I'm telling you, statistics today say that as early as 9 and 10 years old, your kids are getting exposed to hardcore pornography. It's not just over there. It's here. So it's a conversation we need to have, and I'm looking forward to the 6th. I want to encourage you to pray and be here and have your children here. And I'll leave it up to you as to how young you want them to be in there. But youth age and up, definitely a conversation that you need to be in on. And hopefully be able to produce some conversations later on, some comfortable being able to talk with each other. So this is time we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. So I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. And we're going to ask Steve to come up and share what God has laid on his heart, and he'll close as the Lord leads.
Stay. Stay. Good morning. But stay. Not you. Just the dog. Down. Down. Girl, stay. I'll be here in a minute. Good morning. Neil, thank you for the introduction. I have so enjoyed getting a chance to know Neil and spend some time together. Glad that he also likes burgers, because I am, give me a burger anywhere and I'm good to go. Matter of fact, if you want a free counseling session, buy me a burger. We got a free counseling session right there around the table. We're good. Regarding the 6th, our tagline with Ultimate Escape, you're going to see here in a few minutes, is you can learn a lot about, and most of the time I'm talking about sex, is you can learn a lot about sex from a, and then fill in the blank. A chocolate bunny, a game of checkers, a pool stick, chocolate chip cookie. I mean, the list goes on and on. Not yet, girl. Legend. Okay. Hey, legend. Codependent dog. Come here, girl. Come on. Let's put you right here. There you go. I can see this is a no-win situation. Okay, down. Good girl. There you down. We call her the world's most codependent Rottweiler. Anyway, April the 6th, I will do the best that I can to the extent that it's possible to promise you anything. I am highly confident that there is nowhere you will be more comfortable having conversations about sexuality than in an Ultimate Escape presentation. We try to make it fun, memorable, creative, engaging. We are not about shock value. It will be a very safe conversation. But one of the most common remarks that I get back from churches, number one, there were no negative comments after an event. And number two, wow, that wasn't uncomfortable. And so that's my 1 minute shameless plug for April the 6th, to echo your encouragement. I hope you guys will all be here regardless of age. And I typically say, 10 and up, especially if a parent is going to be present in that 10, 11-year-old category, should be totally capable of following what we're going to talk about. This morning, though, is G-rated. We're not talking about sexuality in this presentation. We're talking about connection and transformation. And that's why I bring Legend with me. Legend's going to help out for a few minutes, and then I'll let her lay down, and we'll have the core content, and then we'll bring her back up at the end for a few more minutes. I will say this, I noticed very quickly a great spirit of hospitality and friendliness in your congregation. That speaks volumes, because this is the first time I've ever seen Legend go run over to a group of people and hop up on a pew. That is never, I've traveled a lot of places with this dog. She has never just jumped up on a pew like you guys welcomed her a few minutes ago. And again, I appreciate that. Let me show you a few things, and this, I promise you, stay with me for 5 minutes. This will make sense, because if you're sitting there thinking, why is there a dog in here, and why is this guy talking about his dog, this will make sense. So Legend came to us at a year and a half. She was 18 months old when we got her. We had had a puppy that died of parvo, and so we couldn't bring another puppy into the house. The breeder would not allow us to bring a small puppy in because of the parvovirus. And so we had to go with an adult dog. And so Holly and I were both reluctant, but we wanted a dog. And so we agreed to get Legend. So we lived in Dallas at the time. So I drove from Dallas to Raleigh, North Carolina, and got Legend and then turned around and drove right back to Dallas. The entire drive from Raleigh to Dallas, Legend was in the back of the car going, now for the first hour, I would expect that. But after a few hours, I was getting kind of tired of, we got home and Legend is laying on the foot of our bed the first night. I'm trying to go to sleep and all I hear is, for about a week, she was constant. That high anxiety, that panting, drove me nuts. A couple of days after we got her, I took Legend out on a leash for a walk, and there was a squirrel that ran across the yard, and I kid you not, Legend looked at that squirrel and ran and hid behind my leg at the squirrel, and I thought, I cannot possibly have a Rottweiler like this. This is like, this dog is broken. And so I went back inside and said, Holly, I am taking her back to the breeder. I can't use this dog in my presentation. She said, just give her some time. Let her get used to our family. And so sure enough, over the next several months, as Legend got more connected to us, the panting stopped after a couple more days. And at least I could sleep at night without the constant at the foot of the bed. And I remember the most proud, or the first time I had a really proud moment with Legend. She was laying at the foot of the bed. Holly and I were watching TV in bed, and our youngest Griffin, who you'll hear a little bit more about later on today, at the time, he was probably 16, 17, he put his hand on the doorknob to open up our door, and when Legend heard the click of that doorknob, it's the first time we'd had her for almost 6 months. It's the first time I ever heard her bark. The click of that doorknob, and I mean like this house-shaking bark. And it scared both of us because we thought Legend couldn't bark. I mean, for 6 months, we'd never heard her speak. So we just thought her barker was broken. And I mean, it's like, woof! It's like, was that Legend? Wow, yay, Legend! Now, that's where Legend has come from. Let me show you what we have today. Legend, wake up. Legend, come. Good girl, come. Good girl. Sit. Good girl. Down. Now you're ahead of me. Okay, that's good. Good girl. Now settle. Settle. Good girl. Good girl. All the way. Good. Settle. Good girl. Okay, come. Here, come. Good girl. Now come on. Finish. Finish. Now sit. Stay. Stay. Legend's favorite snack is popcorn and clementines. So if you got a little, you know, cutie or a clementine or popcorn, she is your new best friend. Legend, ready? Ready? Get it. Normally she'll catch those. Oh, you're a little slow today. You're still sleepy. Ready? Get it? Well, this guy says he's got a good dog. What's he talking about? Ready? Get it? Oh, still missed it. The popcorn just doesn't go as far as we thought. Okay, I know. She's a smart dog. She's, as long as she misses it, she knows, I'm going to keep throwing more popcorn. Doing this on purpose. Ready? Get it there. Good job. Good catch. Good catch. Okay, Legend, back. Back. Good girl. Back. Good girl. Okay, ready? Just so you can say, you had a dog speak in your church today. Legend, speak. Speak. Loud. Speak. Good girl. That's an indoor voice. If you walk past my car and I'm not in my car and Legend is in the car, you hear the big girl outdoor voice at that point. Sit. Paw. Paw. Good girl. Good girl. Shake is after she's had a bath. Shake is dry off. And so paw is give me your hand. Very good. Good girl. Okay. What did I? Oh, yes. She is really a gentle girl. A lot of people, you know, the Rottweiler image of this vicious dog, it is so wrong. If you've ever had a Rottweiler, you know, and they're great. Our kids have grown up. We've had five. Our kids have grown up from, I guess Michael, who is now 26, would have been about 10 at the time. Our kids have grown up with a Rottweiler sleeping with, you know, a different kid every night. They just go make the rounds in the different bedrooms. They are so gentle. Legend, come. Okay, Legend, wait, that's your step. Hug, thank you. Okay, stay. Easy. Good girl. Anybody want to volunteer? Okay, Legend, I'm going to set this down. You may not have any more popcorn right now. Legend, come down here. We're going to let you lay down. Come. I know. This is a focused dog. This is Legend, come. There is no ADD in her. She is 100% focused on that popcorn. Down right there. Do you mind if she sits right here in front of you? Okay, down and stay. Good girl. And just because I know this is going to be a distraction, I'm just going to set it right there. Here, and she's not going to try to get into it, I don't think. Okay, legend, down. Famous last words, right? Good girl, stay. Okay. What does that have to do with anything about God or the Bible? Say, now she wants to be petted. She will probably just put her head right under your hand, and as long as you pet her, she'll be fine. And if you stop petting her, she'll pick her head right up under your hand again. So any point you're done, just stop petting her and she'll lay down. If you would take us to the next slide. This is Legend just right after we got her. I was sitting on the back porch. Holly was throwing the ball to Legend, and the ball came over close to me, and Legend grabbed it and then just bunny hopped right in my lap. I was totally unprepared to have this big dog in my lap, but that was Legend. Legend was this big mess, and she has transformed into a really good dog. Where that takes us in the you can learn a lot about, today we're talking about transformation. You can learn a lot about connection or transformation from PVC pipes. I'm gonna grab four volunteers to come up, and if you don't want to help me, that's fine. You can say no, thank you. But if I point to you and you're willing to come help me out, that would be very helpful. Okay, Neil, I'm gonna ask you to come stand right here. Let's see. Would you help me out? Thank you. Okay. I'm gonna put you right here. Okay, and I met you earlier. Remind me your first name. Dwayne, would you come help me put right here? And let's see, I need... I mean, I've been really heavy from this side over here. Do I have somebody who... Would you come help me out? Mm-hmm. Yep, nope. Okay, would you come help me out? Okay, we're going to put you right here. Okay, now let me introduce, once we get down here, let me introduce everybody to where we're at. Okay, this is God. You are standing in for God today. And you are representing humans, so you're standing in for all of us, because we have God and we have humanity. Have some fun with this. This is the enemy. And there is a secret power weapon right in there that we'll get to in a moment, but just know that it's right there. We're gonna keep it secret for the moment. Okay, the two pieces of PVC pipe. You may have noticed them earlier just sitting here on stage. What do you, if you would look at them, and what do you notice they are designed to do? Connect, exactly. One pipe's designed to connect to the other. This is representing God's heart, and this is our heart. God designed our heart to connect with His. So if you would, go ahead and connect the two hearts together. There you go. Notice who does most of the work here. You know, with a lot of help from God, we can connect with Him. Okay. Now, can you tug those apart at this point? Not like tug of war. Just okay. They're connected. They're designed to stay connected. So once they've been connected, the connection is there, and you know we're connected to God. Now, if the story stopped right here, we'd be great. But the story didn't stop right here. There's more to the story, because we have an enemy who doesn't like this connection, and the enemy has something that can interfere with this connection. Hey, you did a really good job, God. Go ahead and let's twist those apart.
Yeah.
Okay, the enemy has something that can interfere with our heart. Got this little black cap, and this is going to represent lies, because the enemy is called the father of lies. Okay, so as long as the enemy plants a lie in our heart, can you connect with God right now? No, I can't. So what do you have to do to connect with God? Exactly, got to take the lie out. Okay, so go ahead. And sometimes it's that easy. Sometimes we can just say, hey, wait a minute. What I'm thinking, that's not right. This is wrong. That's a lie, and it's gone, and now we can reconnect. But if you really don't want her to be able to connect, what are you going to have to do this time?
Plant it deep.
Yes, plant it much deeper. So go ahead. Now notice what she did. What'd she do? Yeah, just boom, right? And we do that. Okay, now you want to connect with God. That's in the way, so what do you do? Take it out. There's no way. Okay, now pause, because that's where we find ourselves a lot. Sometimes I know the lie is wrong, and I know I don't want it there. It's in the way. But no matter how hard I try on my own power, I can't get this thing out of there. I mentioned we have Son of God down here. If Satan was called the father of lies, Jesus said over and over, behold, I tell you the truth. Okay, so Jesus is the author of truth, and he's got the power of truth. So if you want the power of truth to get rid of the lie, all you have to do is ask him, right? Now, do you notice the enemy just told us what? That doesn't normally happen. Anyway, so go. So you have the option if you want to. And now it's gone. And notice what the Son of God does with it. He kept it. He didn't give it back to the enemy. It's there and it's out of the way. Now, this is life. And over, it's this constant. The enemy wants to keep us disconnected from God. Another lie, another lie, another lie. Sometimes we can get rid of it ourselves. Sometimes we need Jesus to take care of it. And guys, this is it. Thank you all very much. You can just set a prop down on the floor. Please give them a hand. Great job. I mentioned story. I said there's more to the story. So let's read and walk through the story here. Genesis chapter 3, the first 8 verses. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman,
"Did God really say?"
I'm sorry, not in that tone. I did that in Uganda, and I promise you, they thought I was possessed. I just thought, never again in Uganda am I going to attempt to read in that kind of voice. Okay, did God really say, "You must not eat fruit from any tree in the garden"? The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. And in that moment, lie number one gets introduced by the addition of the word "not." The enemy introduces doubt. He doesn't come out and say, "Don't trust God." He doesn't come out and say, "God lied to you." But he implies, he just kind of slips that in by saying, "You won't really die." And I would say that the enemy uses the same lie with us. Don't trust. Don't trust God. He's not really going to be there. God sometimes comes through, but this time, this is so big, God's like, you've got to do it on your own. Or maybe it's don't trust other people. People will just disappoint you. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Don't trust. Don't count on somebody else. Don't trust. I think most of us struggle with that don't trust lie. But notice where it came from. It was introduced by the enemy. The story continues. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And in that moment, he introduces the second lie. Because when he says, "You will be like God," he's implying you need or you should be like God. I'm not enough. The way God made me, it's not enough. I need to be something more, something better than I am. And again, please find me the person who doesn't struggle with that lie. The way I am, it's not enough. I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too big, I'm too little. I'm too this, that, my teeth aren't wide enough, my teeth aren't straight enough, my hair is not there, my hair is too much there. On and on and on, it just goes. Almost all advertising taps into this belief. I'm not enough the way I am, I need that to be better. Because if I drove the right kind of car, if I use the right kind of deodorant, if I use the right toothpaste, my teeth would be white and I would smile and the whole room would light up. Or if I use the right kind of chewing gum, people want to kiss me for hours and hours on. Yeah, okay, that goes back a few years, but many of you grew up with the big red commercial, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not enough. It's a lie and it comes from the enemy. "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened." And in that moment, lie number three comes into the picture. I'm bad. Up to that point, there's only one column in the whole universe. It's the good column. Every time God made something, Genesis chapter 1, "Behold, it is good. Everything God made was good. We'll look at the what was very good on the sixth when we're together. But now the eyes of both of them are open, and there's a second column that has just entered their world. Not just good, but now we have good and bad, because now they know the difference between good and evil. And which one do they put themselves in? Yeah, we're bad. We did something wrong. We sinned. We did wrong. I'm bad. And I think most of us struggle with that also. When we lay our head on our pillow at night and everything else is quiet, unless we're, you know, like binge Netflixing and I just fall asleep in the middle of the show. But if I let my world slow down enough that the thoughts that I constantly try to distract from, if they surface, I start to think of the things that I did that disappoint God or that I'm scared somebody might find out, and I'm bad. Again, know where that comes from, because that is a message, it's a lie, that comes from the enemy. And then let's wrap up our story. And they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves, April 6th. That was supposed to be kind of funny. Sorry. Anyway, okay, that's another presentation. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And the fact that they hid is evidence that lie number four is in there. They hide from God because they're not safe. Or that's what they think. God's going to get us. God's going to kill us. God is so angry at us, if he finds us, we're toast. We're done for. Hey, legend, come. Speaking of toast, come. Right here. Let's put you up here. Down, right there. Right there. Good girl. You can play the guitar. There you go. Okay. Good girl. Have a good nap, puppy. Okay. I'm not safe. And again, I think most of us struggle with this. I'm not safe, whether it's physically, if people are out to get me. People want to hurt me. And there can be very legitimate reasons, especially if we have lived through trauma, there can be very legitimate reasons why this feeling is just present in there. Something bad is going to happen. I'm going to be hurt. Or maybe it's I'm not going to be taken care of, which, again, its core is I'm not safe. God's not going to come through this time. I'm going to be left hanging. Bankruptcy is going to be in my future. I just don't feel like I'm safe and I'm going to be taken care of. Again, it's a lie that comes from the enemy. So the question mark becomes, what do we do? If I recognize, hey, some of these lies that you're highlighting right now, yeah, at a gut level, those feel true to me. I feel like I'm a bad person. I feel like I'm not enough the way I am. What do I do? Well, let's come up with a strategy of where do we go from here to get to a better place. Now, here's where we're going to learn a lot about transformation from numbers. I need somebody with a good memory. Anybody here a numbers person, got a good memory? Nobody is volunteering. Nobody's volunteering. Thank you very much. Yes, come up and help me out. All right. Tell me your first name. Colin. I'm Steve. Thank you so much for helping out. I'm going to put up a number on that screen. It's going to be here and there both, so you can look at either one you want to. Okay, go ahead. Now, here's the number. The number is 376,915,428,794. That's the number. All you have to do with that number is just remember it. You don't have to do like math or anything. Just remember the number. Now, people do this differently. I've seen some people like to divide it into groups of four, like 3, 7, 6, 9, 1, 5, 4, 2, 8, 7, 9, 4. Some people remember it that way. Other people like chunks of two, like 3, 7, 6, 9, 1, 5, 4, 2, 8, 7, 9, 4. 3, 7, 6, 9, 1, 5, 4, 2, 8, 7, 9, 4. Some people like threes, like 3, 7, 6, 9, 1, 5, 4, 2, 8, 7, 9, 4. Some people like zip codes. 3, 7, 6, 9, 1, 5, 4, 2, 8, 7. And then you just have to remember the 9, 4 at the end. You can remember that however you want to. You guys see what I'm doing right now, right? Excuse me. Okay, so I'm going to leave it up there for a few more seconds, and you just memorize the number. Because when I make it go away in just a second, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. And then at the end of 30 seconds, you're just going to tell me the number. And here we go. Boom. The number's gone. 30 seconds. He's going to remember the number. Hold on. You got wait 30 seconds. You're just going to remember the number for 30 seconds. Okay. 30 seconds. Now, while he is remembering that number, I need help from you guys. I need you to yell out as loud as you can, random numbers. Go.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 5, 8, 10, 12, 8, 7.
Okay, all quiet. Shh. Number.
376-915.
You got it so far. Okay, you got half of it right, which was really good. What did you guys notice him do when you guys all started yelling? What did you hear? Right, he started saying the number out loud. What were you thinking there? Like, why did you start saying it out loud when they started yelling out the wrong numbers?
Because I was trying to remember it through all the numbers.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay focused. I'm trying to remember the right number to drown out or to not get distracted by all the wrong numbers, right? How did you try to remember? What were you doing for that first 10 seconds or so? In your head, what were you doing?
I was trying to go 3 by 3.
Okay, yeah, just repeat the number in my groups of three. That's the most common strategy I see people do. Those two things. Try to repeat the right number over and over. And then when misinformation starts coming in, I try to ignore that and stay focused on the right number. Did it work for you?
Not really.
I mean, kind of, but not all the way. Let's find a better way. Not that there's anything wrong with that way, but trying to do that all by yourself, that's a whole lot to put on your shoulders just by yourself. I need you to ask 4 people you trust to come up and join you. Just pick out 4 people you trust. 1. If he calls you, please come up and join him. Wow, I see a challenge here. 4 people in this room to trust. Y'all won. Need 3 more. 2. Yeah, I see some folks who have disappeared down there in the seat. Okay, Dad. 1, 2, 3. And 1 more. Jason. Okay, Jason, come on up. Now, don't go anywhere. It's not quite that easy. If you would come stand right here in the middle, and the 4 of you surround him in a semicircle here. So we can have 1, 2, 3, 4 people around him, not all the way, just a semicircle, there you go, perfect. Now, here's what we need. Nobody has to remember the entire number. Would you take the first 3 digits? Would you take me back 1 slide? We're going to pull that number back up. You're going to take 376, okay? 376, you got 915. Forget all the rest of it, 915. 428, would you remember 428? 794, forget the rest of the number. The only thing you got to remember is 794. What's your number?
376.
If you have any trouble at all, what can you do? Exactly. Now, 0 to 100% chance. What do you guys think his chance of getting the number right is right now? It's really high up there. The number. What's the number?
376-915-248.
Almost. 376. 915, what did he do? What did he attempt to do? Right, we do that. We are surrounded by people who can help us, and the human nature is I still want to try to do it on my own, but then when you caught, hey, I don't remember the, I think I've got this, but I don't think I've got, what did you do? Asked him, did he give you the right number? Does this system work better than having to do it all by herself? Yes. Guys did a great job. Thank you for coming up. Thank you for helping. Give them a hand. What does that have to do with anything spiritual? Here we go. Here's our strategy. Focus on the truth. 376-915-428. The enemy is going to inundate you every day with lies. They're all around us. They're coming from people. They're coming from media. They're coming from thoughts he pops into our lies surround us. Focus on the truth. Let me give you two examples very quickly. Number one, the lie, I'm not enough. The truth, in God's eyes, or as far as God is concerned, I'm enough. And here's why I say that. Psalm 139, we're going to pull a few verses from, and I hope you're either familiar with this passage or you'll go back and look at the entire Psalm 139, or at least the first section of the psalm. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Before I even speak a word, you know what I will say. You are the one who put me together inside my mother's body. I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me. Everything you do is marvelous. Of this, I have no doubt. Nothing about me is hidden from you, even before I was born. You had written in your book everything I would do. God knows you inside and out. God knows the thoughts in your head before you can even get a chance to say it. Other places in Scripture, God knows the number of hairs on your head. God put you at the exact time and the exact place that he wanted you in human history. You are created in the very image of the creator of the universe. God made you exactly like he wants you. You cannot improve on what God did. As far as God is concerned, how he made you is enough. You don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to self-improve for God to love you. How you are is enough. I'm not saying that there's not a sin issue to deal with. I'm just saying you. I'm not saying physically your body. I'm saying you. The you that's going to live beyond when your body stops breathing and your body's, you know, the dust is pushing up daisies. The you that continues to live, that you, God created it. And it is sufficient the way he made you. The lie is I'm not enough. The truth is in God's eyes I'm enough. Focus on the truth. And then the other, in Christ I'm good. The lie is I'm bad. The truth is Christ makes me good. In Christ I'm good. Here's why I say that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, not counting men's sins against him. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here's what that looked like. I need Jesus back up here for a moment, and I need my human back up here for a moment. Jesus, if you would go back and stand in the place where you were a moment ago, and tell me your first name. Courtney, thank you for helping out today. Courtney, this backpack, I'm going to have represent sin. Now, I mentioned two columns, the good column and the bad column. Okay, there is the good column, and then there is the bad column. God made you. When God made you, what column did he put you in? You're in the good column. You're standing in the good column, right? Perfect. Here's the problem. All of us encounter this thing called sin. Sin belongs in what column? The bad column. So when we encounter sin, the first time I do something wrong that is sinful, slide one arm in there, just going to let it hang on one shoulder. Now, all of a sudden, sin is connected to me. Once sin is stuck on me, what column does sin belong in?
Bad.
The bad. And because sin is stuck on me, when sin goes to the bad column, what happens to me? I get dragged along over there. Now, at the moment, what column are you in? Yeah, I'm in the bad column. Now, here's my question. Are you good or bad? Right. Right answer. I am good, but sin is bad. But because sin is bad and it's stuck on me, I am stuck over here in the bad column, even though that's not what I am. It's just where I am. Jesus did what? We just read it. Jesus became sin for us. Jesus takes that sin away from us, and he took care of it. And what did he do? Put it on himself, and then he got rid of it. It's gone, right? Sin is no longer on you. It's gone. Jesus took care of it, got rid of it. Yes, yes. It took you a second, but you did that. Because what normally happens is we just feel like we're still over here when we're not. We don't belong over here, but we feel like we... This is the truth. The truth sets us free. Jesus said, you'll know my truth, and the truth will set you free. Focus on the truth. Thank you guys for helping out. Appreciate it. Give him a hand. Good job. You would. Okay, focus on the truth. 3, 7, 6, 9. Focus on the truth and live in healthy community. Be surrounded by people in community. Because if I don't have the burden of having to do this all by myself, but I've got people around me who are surrounding, 3, 7, 6, 9, 1, 5, 4, 2, 8, 7, 9, 4. I've got people who can help support me through this. So live in community. Here's my question. Who are the people who speak truth to you? I don't mean who do you go hunt and fish and go shopping with and have coffee with. I'm not saying who are your friends. I'm saying who speaks truth in your life. Because we all need that level of community. There's nothing wrong with the fellowship level of community. But if that's the only level that I've got, if I don't have the deep community that of truth speakers who are reminding me over and over, hey, the way God made you, it's enough. You are great because Christ has made you great. If I don't have people who are speaking that constantly, I start to forget, and all of a sudden that I feel bad, that's real easy to fall right back into. So focus on the truth and live in healthy community. And then lastly, sometimes I just have to ask God for help, because no matter how much I know, this lie isn't true. I know it doesn't belong there, and I want it out, but sometimes the enemy has powerfully planted that in there so strong that it feels like it belongs there, even though I know that it doesn't. And that's when I need to be willing to say, hey, I need you to get rid of this because I can't. I want to share one of those examples, I call them God moments, where God has to step in and do what we can't do. I mentioned my youngest son, Griffin, earlier. When Griffin was 4 years old, I began recovery from what had been a lifelong struggle with sexual addiction that I didn't even know what it was. I didn't understand that term. I knew I struggled really, really bad, and finally went to a place in Nashville, Tennessee, a place called Bethesda Workshops, and I used the phrase, life began at age 33. For me in Nashville, Tennessee. Light bulbs went off. I started to piece things together, and that's why, and it makes so much sense. But I had always struggled with the I'm bad. I always felt I'm bad. And there were some legitimate reasons where that came from at a very early age, because somebody opened the door to sexuality in my world at a really early age, and I just always felt I'm so bad. I am so dirty. God is disgusted by me. That felt true. So into this recovery journey, probably the first 3 months, I'm learning all kinds of new truths and kind of reframing things in my life. And man, that I'm bad still feels true, but I know it's not. So one night, I told Holly goodnight. She rolled over to her side of the bed. I rolled over to my side of the bed, and I'm having this conversation with God there, in my bed. Man, God, I wish you were here in body form, because if I could just feel your arms around me, I think that would help me feel like you love me. It always felt like I'm so bad, God can't possibly love me. God loves every other human on the planet, but he can't love me because I'm so bad. So that's the conversation I'm having with God. And right as that thought left my brain, I wish you were here in body form and I wish I could feel your arms around me, Griffin, who is 4 at the time, he walks into my bedroom and stops right at the head of my bed and he says, Daddy, can I snuggle with you? I pulled the covers back. Griffin crawls in the bed, curls up in the bend of my arm, and he is out like a light. And I am grinning like a Cheshire cat in the dark because I understood what God just did. Okay, God, I get it. Okay, this is you. That's me. I know how much I love this boy. And in that moment, something happened, and that lie that had felt true for, I was 33, so maybe the take away the first four of not much memory, so 29 years, I had struggled with that, and it felt, and boom, it was gone, and never to return. That's a God moment, because in that moment, God did something that I couldn't figure out a way to do. And I didn't need to go just read a book or take a pill. I needed some kind of experience that helped me wrap my brain around and allowed something to feel true. And that's what sometimes it takes. God, I am struggling with this. Please help me find some way out of this. Set me free. Take this lie and what's the truth? Psalm chapter 40, the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. God will meet us in our darkest places, in the most nasty of situations that sometimes we have stumbled into and sometimes we have helped to create them. Sometimes it's a combination of the two. No matter how bad it is, how ugly it is, how much we feel like we're worthless and God couldn't possibly understand and God couldn't possibly forgive this, all of those are statements that are false. They're lies. They feel true, but they're not. God will come to us in those moments and God can pick us up and clean us off and give us a different place to exist. That's the kind of God we serve. Legend, come. Legend, wake up. Good girl, come. Hey, Legend, come. Good girl. Says, do I really have to? It was all nice and warm in that spot on the carpet. Legend. Settle. I know, it's in the way. There you go. Settle. Good girl. There you go. That's my girl. I wouldn't have given 2 cents for this dog the first week we had her. You couldn't pay me enough to have her right now. If connecting with me and my family can have that effect on a dog, can you imagine what connecting with the creator of the universe will do in your life? God connects with us and transforms us in the power of his connection. When we unite with Christ and God's Spirit dwells within us, that Spirit interacting with our spirit, it changes and shapes us and we become more and more and more and more into the likeness of his Son Jesus in the process. If you're in need of some connection or transformation, God's invitation is open all the time. And I hope that if there's anything that this group of believers can do to encourage you in that journey, I hope today you'll take advantage of that, and I'm going to turn it back over to you.